Hi, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. It's October, it's Friday the 13th. Yes,
is it?
That's the upload date of this show, Friday the 13th.
And it's a nightmare on my street. Sorry.
But, you know, everybody gives the 13th, like, such a bad rap. But
I love it.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
I'm luckier that day.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
Not me. I was so happy when I was in that Mrs. New Jersey pageant, and they gave me contestant number 12. And I thought, oh, good, you know, my birthday, February 12th. 12 would be a good number. And then at the last minute, this woman comes running up to me. She goes, I'm sorry, and she rips my number off. We made a mistake. You're number 13. And she gave the 12 to another girl. And I always see, she jinxed me. She gave me the unlucky 13.
I would have sued him.
You know, so I'm not a big fan of the number. And I thought about it. I said, you know, Jesus was one of 13. Look what they did to him. Not a good number. Anyway, we do have our announcements for our upcoming meetings of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. All meetings are free and open to the public to attend. They all start at 7 p.m. and end promptly at 8:30 p.m. Next one up at bat is October 17th. That's the Hackettstown meeting, the Northwest Division, headed up by myself. It's located in the Community Center at 293 Main Street in Hackettstown. That's Warren County, New Jersey, in the Blue Room. After that, October 26th will be the Bogota Recreation Center. That's the Northeast Division of the NJGHS, headed up by team leader Laura Lindemann. The Recreation Center is located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota. And following that one will be November 1st in the Hazlitt Library, headed up by Gregory and Sherry Irish, our Central Jersey Division team leaders in the Hazlitt Library, like I said, 251 Middle Road, Hazlitt. We've got some more presentations. I've been having fun doing these, getting to meet lots of people. Venturing out to areas of the state I don't normally venture out to, so it's fun getting to see people from different areas.
Getting and then, lost.
Oh, well, that goes without saying. But, you know, excuse me. I mean, I'm doing okay. I MapQuest, I call, I follow up, but, you know. And I allow plenty of time because I don't want to be late.
You're okay, Leadfoot.
I know. I got my new car, and I'm still driving it hard. Like, you know, it's like, I can't help it. You know, it's like, when I'm late somewhere, believe me, it is not for lack of driving on my part. You know?
I know.
It's all you idiots that get in the way. Anyway, so I've got some more presentations coming up. October 14th, the Science Fiction Society of Northern New Jersey is hosting me at Borders Books in Paramus Plaza in Paramus, New Jersey at 8 p.m. October 19th, the Belvedere Women's Club in Belvedere, New Jersey at 7:30 p.m. October 23rd, Mattawan Aberdeen Library in Mattawan, New Jersey at 7 p.m. And November 1st, Ocean County Library in Lakewood, New Jersey at 7 p.m. excuse me, I'm just indulging with this wonderful new 7-Up, and it's clogging my throat.
Jeez.
Yeah, all the car melanin, I guess. But anyway, so, yeah, it's been exciting. October is in full swing. I see the Weird NJ people are having their party on October 28th at the Asbury Lanes in Asbury, New Jersey. I don't know if there's any tickets left for that, and it was only $12 if you ordered the tickets online.
Where's our invite?
We don't get invited to that.
We're radio personalities. We should get a damn invite.
No, we're not radio. Would you stop? I've met Mark and Mark, and they're very nice, but this is probably their people and our people, and they're just not making the connection, you know. And
hey, we've been doing this podcast over a year now.
And well, they've been doing Weird NJ for like 10 years, so.
Yeah, so.
And normally they always had their party at the Stone Pony. I went one year. And the costumes that people wear are phenomenal. I mean, this one guy really did. I mean, he had the hair on his face, the fur. I mean, he did the Wolfman thing. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Sure, it wasn't his real hair?
Oh, I'm sure. I don't know whatever I did. I went as a dead Catholic schoolgirl to that party. And I had the cutest picture of me and the Wolfman. It was just like, it looked so cute, you know, a dead Catholic schoolgirl with the Wolfman.
Are you going to put it up on the website?
If I could find them. You know, I think over the years I've, like, filed stuff off to CD-ROM because, you know, I didn't want to eat up all the space on my computer. And then I had a picture of the guy who came dressed as the Jersey Devil. You know, amazing costume. Just, he had the wings, he had the sign holding up Weird NJ on it, you know, and... really cool. But what they do is they have a contest for the costumes, I believe, at midnight. And this year the prize is $1,000 worth of weird stuff. You know, of all, like, their Weird NJ magazines, sweatshirts, T-shirts, bumper stickers, their books, I think, copy of each thing. It's all about me, baby. It's all about me, you know. So
it's all about the Benjamins.
Yeah. So that's the deal. Oh, that reminds me, Breaking Benjamin. If anybody out there can get me that CD. You just said Benjamin. It's like, I keep forgetting. Every time I'm in front of the computer,
Wait. We can't ask for tickets for Weird NJ, but you can ask for that.
Well, truth to tell, I already have a prior commitment for October 28th, and it's right in my hometown, so it saves me from driving all the way down the Shua, you know, as they say. So,
yeah, but you know what? It's nice to just be invited.
Well, you know, can I say, we don't rate. We're just...
Well, I know. I mean, when was the last time we got invited on Hometown Tales?
When's the last time we got a freaking parachute? Come on!
Gina.
Yeah. I mean, need I say more? Anyway, so yeah, I did put the Weird NJ party info on the NJGHS's Halloween page. So, you know, if you didn't get a chance to scroll all this down, you want to go on there, they have all the links. And you know what? Frankenstein 3000 is going to appear at their party, and I've seen them. They were at the party I was at. Actually, they had Frankenstein 3000 when I was there, and then I forget the name of this band, but they were all midgets. Seriously. Little people. Okay.
I don't think they like that name.
All right. They were all little people in this band. It was hysterical. And they were dressed up in their costumes. The one who was dressed like a biker dude with the leather on, it was a scream. I mean, he was all 3 foot nothing, you know, walking around with the chains and the biker leather. And they were wailing. They had to be on little podiums so they could be up high enough on the stage so people could see them. So... It was fun. And, yeah, so pretty interesting.
What were they called? The Frankenstein 3?
3 foot? I don't know. I forget the name of that band. And but, yeah. You know who else is good that usually comes to ChillerCon? It's the Dead Elvi, if you ever catch them.
Never heard of any of these people you're talking about.
Oh. Well, you wouldn't. You have to go to these parties and these venues and you see
them. Well, I'd like to if I got an invite.
It's only $12 for the ticket to go, you know, so...
It's not a matter of the money.
Well, look at it this way. You're sort of invited because it's 12 bucks and you can get in. And it's in a retro-style bowling alley, from what I understand. They're going to have the bands and
well,
beer.
Well, you know what, guys? If you want to come to the Ghost World Con, you got to pay. Full price.
Well, it's up to them if they want to be there. I mean, I'm sure they're so busy running their multi-million dollar, whatever it is by now, venture with all the weird stuff, you know. But hey, more power to them. At least it's two guys from Jersey. And being the diehard Jersey girl that I am, it makes me happy if one of our own succeeds.
Well, two of them are succeeding though.
Yeah, those two and Bruce Springsteen. So there you go. We have something.
Bon Jovi?
Oh, yes, yes. You know, I got to see them this past summer in concert.
Oh.
My very first time.
Congratulations. I saw Huey Lewis in the news.
Oh, my God. Wow. I remember being in high school when they first came out. I remember WDHA Curtis Kay. One morning I'm getting ready to go to school. And he's like, I got this new cutting-edge music from this band called Huey Lewis and the News. And I heard this song. I go to school and I'm like, God, you guys got to listen to this. It's pretty cool. I mean, what a different sound. And
well,
who knew?
It's pretty much all still the original members.
Wow. Amazing. So you want to do shout-out?
Oh, why not?
Okay. So each week we will give a shout out to a paranormal investigating group or ghost hunting club. We want to recognize those exceptional organizations out there in the field who are doing the research and sharing their findings via their websites. If you would like your group shouted at, then send an email with the link to your site to thedeadline@njghs.net. We'll check out your site, and if you make the grade, we'll email you to let you know which show your shout-out will be aired on. So, this week's shout-out goes to SpiritSearchers.com. My good friends, John and Nancy Wilton, they're longtime members of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, and they formed their site and their ghost hunting duo back in 1996. Well, I don't know if they formed the site in 96, because we didn't even form ours till 98, and they joined after that, but they have been ghost hunting since 1996. And they really do great work. So, and if you have a chance to catch them, they're back together in the band Johnny Peso with our other mutual friend, Bug, who I've mentioned before on the show. And Bug and Scott and Joe and Nancy and John form the band Johnny Peso, which is the poor man's Johnny Cash. So you can check them out. In fact, I have them on MySpace page. So if you go to myspace.com/NJGHS, you'll see in my friends, you'll see the Johnny Peso and my friends there, and you can click on, check out their site, and they do a great job. And then you can also check out, like I said, SpiritSearchers.com. John's pretty good at collecting those EVPs and the pictures, and he does an amazing job on the site. So shout out to John and Nancy of SpiritSearchers.com. Check them out on the web. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
Hi, this is John Zaffis, author of Shadows of the Dark. Welcome to another evening of Deadline, hosted by New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Parashare. Thanks to those of you who took the time to write in and share your great ghostly encounters and paranormal experiences. Normally you would be entered in the monthly drawing for NJGHS membership, but we are preempting that till later in November because there's just too much going on right now to keep up with all of that. So if you haven't already, please send along your parashares to thedeadline@njghs.net or use the handy form on the deadline page of the NJGHS website. And if your story really rocks, we'll invite you to come in on the show and tell it yourself. Of course, travel is at your own expense, but you will be provided Dunkin' Donuts coffee by our very own Brian Sant. So, we have a parashare hot off the press here.
Woo-hoo.
I know. Oh, much thanks to Nathan Schoonover, a member, and he is a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. He successfully completed the Eastern State Penitentiary certification program back on September 2nd. We've reviewed all his findings, and he should have it by now in the mail, his certificate and laminated ID card.
I didn't sign nothing.
Well, you were there. You did all the training. You're listed on it as a trainer.
I know. I should have signed it as the official certified trainer.
All right. You want me to redo the certificate?
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so underappreciated around here.
Okay, so here's Nathan's parashare. I've had an interest in the paranormal since I was 12 years old. Excuse me. By the time I was 17, I was talking to anyone I could find with experience in the field, going to lectures, interviewing people who had experiences, reading every book I could find. But when I was 20, I got married, and my wife was afraid of ghosts, so I got less and less involved with researching ghosts. By 1992, I got divorced, and I tried to get involved in research again, but never seemed to have the time. By 1994, I was employed by an institution in Northwest New Jersey. Ghost stories ran rampant in the old Catholic seminary that had been converted into a school and living unit for the residents there. excuse me. Where was I? I worked the night shift, which could run anywhere from 10 p.m. to 9 a.m. People there had seen faces in the window at the end of the one hall. There were reports of a young man standing in a locker room, seen through the small windows, being talked about all the time. I myself had seen the young man and thought a resident had gotten into the storage area. I called a supervisor to come down with the keys to let me in, but once we unlocked the door, no one was in there. Oh, forgive me. One night, I was working upstairs on the men's unit when one of the staff members, a very large, strong man, whom I will call B, called and asked if I could watch the woman's unit while he went down to get something to eat in the kitchen, just off the Ed Wing. A few of us asked him to bring us back something to eat, and we went back to watching TV or reading, whatever we could do to pass the long night. A few moments later, B came running back onto the unit. He said he was down in the kitchen getting something out of one of the refrigerators when he felt as if someone was watching him. He turned and said someone was standing in the dining area. Thinking it was a resident, he called out to them. He said that whatever it was hopped up on a table. He ran back to the living unit with the keys and asked someone else to go back and lock the door. He refused to ever go back to the cafeteria at night again. After that, many people refused to go down to the Ed Wing at night. Not being scared easily, it became my job to go down to the kitchen and get food for everyone on the night shift. I have to admit, I had always had that feeling I was being watched on that unit, but didn't let it get to me, and for several months I was in charge of the nightly food run. One night, after all the clients were asleep and the staff was getting hungry, I was given the keys and asked to go get some food. I walked down to the kitchen and lifted the keys to put them in the door lock to the cafeteria. From over my shoulder, a hand reached past my face, long outstretched fingers grabbed for my hand and the keys. The hand was dark, but I thought one of our residents had snuck out and followed me downstairs. The hand was dark? That's what it says. Okay. The hand and arm didn't seem to be bare, but I didn't see any clothes. The hand seemed solid, but at the same time, it looked as though I could see right through it. I was sure I was about to get jumped on by one of the clients, so I turned around as fast as I could and yelled, "Ha!" There was no one there. Instantly, I knew something bizarre had happened, but I had to make sure. I wasn't thinking if something paranormal had just happened, but to make sure it hadn't been a client of the Institute, I walked down the hall and checked every door to see if it was locked and if it was open. I looked in and made sure no one was there. I found no one. On the way back, I had to walk past the front entrance, two large glass doors with floor-to-ceiling windows on either side. As I walked by, there was a clinking sound of boots on the floor, and I was ready to kick myself for wearing cowboy boots again. I had been told again and again not to have them on at work. I was told the residents were afraid of them and they tended to wake them up when I walked by their rooms. I looked down to see I had sneakers on. The noise wasn't coming from me. I looked over at the large glass windows, and behind me I saw a pair of dark legs wearing what looked like black boots standing behind me. There was no body attached to these legs, and this time I could tell they were definitely see-through. I stood very still, turned my head slowly. I could tell something was behind me, but when I turned all the way around, again, there was no one there. I walked back and told everyone what I had seen. Very few people ever went down to the unit alone again. I did go to the Ed Wing many nights after that and often had the feeling of being watched, but never saw anything like that again. It was an odd night. I have never been sure about what it was, but I find the time to study and investigate the paranormal now. Well, yes, he does, because like I said, He is a certified paranormal investigator from the NJGHS. Thank you, Nathan.
Yes, thank you, Nathan.
That was cool.
Yes, very cool.
Northwest Jersey, that's my stomping ground now.
You should know that place.
Well, you know, I just moved there about 2 years ago or whatever, or close to 2 years ago, so.
Doesn't matter.
And I pretty much live at work, so. Anyway, you want to hear some other freaky stuff?
Oh, sure.
I mean, not really freaky, but I was looking through some old weird NJ magazines. I came across this discussion of Joe Mulliner. He was the Robin Hood of the Pine Barrens. You ever hear of him?
Yes, I have.
You have? What'd you hear? What'd you hear?
I read in Weird NJ.
Oh. Well, that's all I have here. It's like the Robin Hood of the Pine Barrens. He was born back in the 1740s and grew to stand 6 feet tall. He married and settled in the area known today as Pleasant Mills. He remained loyal to the King of England after the Revolutionary War broke out and was forced to leave his home by his independence-seeking neighbors in 1779. He went on to be the leader of a group of like-minded men, about 40 in total, and they hid out in the Forks area of the Jersey Pine Barrens, surrounded by the swamps. He and his gang never murdered anyone. Joe was a robber with class. He even joked with his victims while stealing from them. It is suspected that he made the anonymous $300 donation to the widow Bates, whose house had been robbed and burned to the ground by his gang. He saved one young woman from a forced marriage by showing up the day of her wedding with his gang and guns in plain view and told the groom he had two choices, leave or die. The groom was never seen or heard from again. Let's see, Joe Mulliner met his demise when he crashed one party in the summer of 1781 and picked, as usual, the prettiest woman there to dance with. Her date was so furious that he made his way past the Mulliner guards to round up a posse, and they surrounded the inn of the party. Joe was captured and taken to trial and hanged the same day for high treason, August 8th, 1781. Sorry, Joe. But hey, it's a neat story.
Very good.
You know, those pineys. Remember growing up, we always hear in the story about the pineys?
No.
You never heard that? The pineys?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's like...
I don't know if they're as scary as the Jackson Whites,
but, well, yeah. But everybody... Well, people around here in the Jersey always refer to the people in the Pine Barrens as the pineys. And that there's like this little lost cult of people, kind of like the Jackson Whites, that are in the Pine Barrens, and they, you know... They kind of stay amongst themselves, breed amongst themselves, the pineys.
Okay.
Well, so I hear. Do not quote me on that. Anybody out there, if you have any information on the pineys, email laurah@njghs.net.
With pictures.
With pictures, so I can edify Brian over here. Okay. Now, speaking of the Pine Barrens, and it is Friday the 13th, what better than to speak of the 13th child of Mrs. Leeds, the Jersey Devil. Yes, what a great story. Supposedly born in 1735 to Mother Leeds, who was said to have cursed the babe in her womb out of frustration for already having 12 children and very little to live on. Now, I ask you, after child number 5, let's say, does the light not come on as to how this works?
Well,
you know, like you put a certain something somewhere, and 9 months later, guess what? You know?
Well, I guess back in those times, no.
I mean, how could she be... All right. Well, anyway, so she's got 12 kids, finds out she's pregnant with the 13th, and supposedly curses it because she's so upset.
Was it all the same father?
I don't know. No one says that. Mother Leeds. She was a mother. Anyway... The main story goes that the baby boy was born completely normal and within minutes of having been placed in his mother's arms began to transform to a horrible monster with cloven feet, horse-like face, and wings attached to its back, which it used to fly out the nearest window and feast upon other local babies and children for its first earthly meal. The Jersey Devil was supposedly exorcised in 1740, but with the understanding that the exorcism would only last 100 years. Sure enough, in 1840 he showed up once more to terrorize the Pineys.
Why only 100 years?
I don't know. I guess that's all the holding power they had. And it was funny because it even says how it was passed down generation to generation of warning the people to keep it fresh in their mind, so when 1840 came, these people knew, like, hey, 100 years ago, our ancestors told us that this may happen. So, interesting stuff.
Very.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
Troy Taylor, founder of the American Ghost Society, and you're listening to the Deadline Podcast in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Okay, it's time for haunted trivia. Now, last week you were asked, what was the name of the Yale graduate and actor whose name was synonymous with horror films? The answer, Vincent Price. It should be noted that Vincent Price was more than just the few horror films he is recognized for. He was an art collector and gourmet cook. He really appreciated the finer things in life and knew how best to acquire them. He was a true gentleman. Johnny Depp did say he learned a lot about art in the time he worked with him on the set of Edward Scissorhands. Vincent died from Parkinson's and lung cancer in 1993. And rest in peace, Vincent, because you were really, really good. Okay, so this week's haunted trivia has a skill level of challenging. In Des Moines, Iowa, the Drake University Observatory houses a ghost of a former professor. What is the name of this professor who, to this day, students experience his ghostly corrections on their calculations and their observation logs? Be the first person to correctly identify this professor, this ghostly professor, and email your answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win the CD of our earlier shows as well as the bumper sticker of the NJGHS. Again, that's hauntedtrivia@njghs.net. Give us the name of the ghostly professor at Drake University Observatory.
And I should remind everyone, ghostworldconference.com, make sure you go onto the website, register for the workshops, and just register for the conference. I mean, it's counting down. You still got the early bird rate of $95. That's going to end November 1st. So I know you're busy with costume planning and party planning and the Halloween planning, but make sure you register because the price is going to go up as of November 1st. So why take a kick in the wallet like that when you could just, you know. The workshops won't increase, though. I will tell you that. We've decided the price is $25 or whatever, and that's it. But the price for the conference will go up. And you can't go to a workshop and not the conference, so.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so I would like to once again remind you all to stay tuned to the NJGHS.net website and sign up for our Yahoo group. So
and go vote.
And vote for our show, definitely, on podcastalley.com. And thanks again to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king.
And as always, our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Laura Lindemann. And Don Slepian of DonSlepian.com, who crafted our wonderful theme song. And of course, thanks to you for listening. You know, keep downloading the shows weekly, sending in your parashares, and you know, at some point in life, you're going to have to meet the deadline.